Okay, today's daf is daf kuf. We're going to start on Sadi Tet Amabet. We'll go back for a quick minute to Shmuel. So five lines from before the lines get wider. Okay, and probably about 15 lines from the top. Amar Shmuel, Tabachu man shekil kel chayav l'shalem, mazaku poshehu. So you bring your meat to the tabach to shecht. He shechts your meat improperly. Okay, makes a mistake. The animal moves. Something goes wrong. He's chayav l'shalem. Okay, here notice Shmuel calls him a tabach uman. He's a specialist. So he has to pay because he's called a mazaku poshehu, which we discussed. Strange lashon. The Gemara is going to say lama li lemeimar mazaku poshehu. Iamar mazik. Who, if we just said mazaku, hava mina. You might have thought if you use the word mazik, then you would have thought that it's only if he works for money. But if he does it for free, you might have thought he's pacher, right? You bring your, this is always classic, you ask someone to do a favor for you and then they mess up. So are they responsible or not? If you pay the guy, so obviously he assumes responsibility. But if you don't pay him, and he's doing it for free, so maybe you would say, well, you know, it's not my responsibility. So kamash malan, therefore it says the words posheahu, he's a poshea, which now we're going to move into the terminology, as I mentioned yesterday, to whether it's adama mazik or a shomer. But then if you're a shomer chinam, what are you chayav for? You're chayav for pshia. Because if you want something for free, you do someone a favor. The goodness of your heart, and then something, and you intentionally, you know, you're negligent with it. So then you're responsible. So likewise here, even if he does it for free, he's responsible. Okay, so that's Shmuel. Eitiver Rav Chama Bar Guria l'Shmuel. Rav Chama Bar Guria now asks Shmuel, Hanotein behema l'tabach v'nibla. If you give an animal to a tabach and he turns it into a nivela, meaning he doesn't shecht it properly, uman patur hedyot chayav. Okay, now what do you see here? The uman, according to this, braita, is patur. And what did Shmuel just say? That the uman is chayav, whether it's, right, bein b'chinam, right, bein b'sachar. Whether he does it for money or whether he does it for free, Shmuel says, no matter what, you're chayav. And the braita says that an uman is patur, and an hedyot is chayav. Ve'im noten sachar, Ben hediot ben uman chayav. The Braita continues to say, so basically in other words, let's read it like this. This sachar, the Braita says, you're chayav. But when it comes to, if I put it here, is it better? If it comes to bechinam, the Braita says, you're patur. Okay, when it comes, it's actually, is it a, it's a tosefta, if I remember correctly. But anyway, it's a tosefta. So, here we have a contradiction. So they ask on Shmuel, how could you say this? It goes against an explicit Tosefta. Amarle, okay, you're going to love this one. La'acher mochecha, your brain should be muddled. Okay? Meaning, don't talk to me. Okay. Weird. Now, he doesn't say why. So, but we're going to see the story continues. Ata humei rabbanan, someone else came along to Shmuel, kamotiv le, and he asked the same question. Armale, hascha shakalta maida shakal chavre, what you took, what your friend took, this braita you took to go ask me questions about it. Kamina luchuana, I will tell you this. Rabbi Meir, kamarina luchuana, Rabbi Meir, v'kamari tuli, Rabbanan. You're bringing me Rabbanan shita, but I'm bringing you Rabbi Meir shita. In other words, what I say, this is always if you have a contradiction between the Tana Itik source, if you can say I hold like somebody else, then it's fine. There's no problem with the Braita, with the Tosefta. So the Tosefta holds like Chachamim. And I hold like Rabbi Meir. Okay? So therefore, he says, what a silly question that you're asking me. It's like you're comparing apples and oranges. Okay? And therefore, I mean, maybe that's not the best comparison, but he's saying, you're bringing me someone else's opinion. Amai lo diakt milai. Why weren't you careful about checking into my words? This is like a good, you know, authority figure. Don't start questioning me unless you really did your research properly. Shani omer maziku poshehu nase ka omer lo shchot lemikan v'shachal lemikan. Because how do you know that I hold like Rabbi Meir? Because I say, my explanation was maziku poshehu, and it's as if he said shchot lemikan v'shachal lemikan. So far he hasn't said anything new. Man eat lehai svara, and who's the one who holds this? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one who holds this, because Rabbi Meir holds that in a case like this, mebaile lemirme anafshe, a person has to be extra, extra careful. In other words, an uman has a responsibility, and he has to be super careful that he doesn't mess up your stuff. Okay? Whereas Chachamim would say, in this kind of case, he doesn't have to be extra careful. Now, why would you say he doesn't have to be as extra careful? Why wouldn't we say, again, we talked about, it's either Shomrim or it's Adama Mazik. Wouldn't we say that this is like Adama Mazik, where you're chayav no matter what? You always have to be super careful with someone else's stuff. So you could say, the difference between Adama Mazik, a potential answer is like this. The difference between Adama Mazik is, he goes over to your property, he had nothing to do with your stuff, and all of a sudden he comes over and he damages it. Right? And he had no connection to your item, and he comes out of the blue and he damages your stuff. This is a case where you actually gave him something to take care of for you. Now, you know, to fix, to do something with, to shecht, whatever it might be. And if he messes it up, in other words, it's not like he went out on purpose to go damage your stuff, in which case we might say, even if he didn't do it on purpose, well, he's responsible no matter what. But in this case, you kind of gave him, it's all because you, again, it's maybe you could say, like we said, it's the shift, we said way back when we learned about Adama Mazik, there's always a shift of responsibility. You gave him the item. You entrusted him also. So there could be that there's, again, he's still obviously responsible if he does something amazing, but if he does something accidental, then we might say, well, in that case, you're not necessarily fully responsible. So there's the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Now the problem here is, he just mentions here that Rabbi Meir holds this, right? He doesn't say Rabbi Meir in this machloket says this, right? He's not quoting the words of Rabbi Meir, right? Sometimes they'll say, "I'm Rabbi Meir," and then they quote it word for word. He's saying, no, Rabbi Meir holds in a case like an uman, he has to be extra careful with the person's item. So now the Gemara is going to say, hey, Rabbi Meir, which Rabbi Meir did he learn this from? And we're going to have the exact same structure later on today also, where someone else says something about Rabbi Meir, and then they say, well, what Rabbi Meir are you talking about? For those who learned the Bava Metzia class, we had the exact same thing. We had it, if you remember, last year when we learned, it was also, there was Rabbi Meir Shita, and then they said, well, which Rabbi Meir do you see this from? And they bring different options, and each time they reject it. So we're going to have the same structure. Ilema ha Rabbi Meir ditnan, maybe it's this one. Kesharob ala b'mosera, this is going to be a good review, v'na'al b'fanav kara'oi v'yatza v'hezik, he took his animal, he tied him up, he tied the reins, he closed the door like he should, okay, we call this shmira p'chuta, right, he does a basic shmira, v'yatza v'hezik, and yet somehow the animal got out anyway, bein tam b'mu'ad chayav divrei Rabbi Meir. Do you remember we had this whole thing because it says v'lo yishmiranu ba'alav, which means if there is shmira, then it's good. And then the pasuk was about the shor muad. So one opinion said only a shor muad. If you do shmira ma'ula, if you do shmira p'chuta, it's enough. But for a short time, it's not enough. And then Rabbi Meir disagreed, and he held no. Even for a short time, it's enough. Because what? Remember we said how are you going to have a higher standard for a short time than you do for a shor muad? Okay. So if you do basic shmira, that's okay. You're going to be, the opposite. I said the wrong thing about Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds basic shmira is not enough, not for a short muad and not for a short time. You need, in order to be, right? In other words, you're going to be responsible if you did only basic shmira. You have to do a greater shmira to be patur. So therefore, he holds, bein tam bein muad, you're going to be chayav. So what do you see here? That you hold a higher level of responsibility, right? That you're going to be chayav, right? He holds in this case with a short time shor muad, that even a shor muad, you're going to be chayav if you did the shmira p'chuta. It's not enough. Okay, so now, why don't we say that that's where Rabbi Meir holds a higher level of shmira, so you know a higher level of responsibility? But hatam b'kray plige. If you remember there, that whole thing all had to do with these words in the pasuk, lo yishmeranu ba'alav. It was a unique halacha specific to short time, shor muad. Had to do with the pasukim there. You can't necessarily learn from here to any other case. So we reject that one. Next option. Ela ha-Rabbi Meir titnan, litzboa lo adom, again, chazaran, we also saw this case in Bava Metzia, litzboa lo adom utzva'o shachor, shachor tzva'o adom, we're going to see this Mishnah later, He says, I want you to color it red, and you color it black. He wants you to color it black, and you color it red, okay, the dyer. Rabbi Meir Omer, no tain lo demet samro, So what does he say? You're fully responsible. You have to give him back the demeit semer, right? You have to give him the value of, right? You took his semer, you ruined it basically because you colored it a different color. That's not what he wanted. That's called ruining it. You have to give him back the value of the semer. So again, he holds you fully responsible. So again, why do we say this isn't a good comparison? Hatam biyadayim klaomine. In that case, you purposely dyed it black, right? Why you decided to do that, we don't know. But it wasn't like accidentally the black dye fell in, right? You were trying to do it red and it ended up black. Here it's the guy gave it to you red and you decided, I want to make it black. So you're responsible for that. Of course, you did it biyadayim. In our case, he didn't do it on purpose, right? It's this accident happens. You can't compare those two cases. Ela, ha Rabbi Meir, how about this one? Titnan, again, review. Nishbira kadar, remember how minyach hatikab rishit harabim, right? And then he trips, or he's walking rishit harabim, he trips. Nishbira kadar velo silka. Nafla gam lo velo hemida. Okay, he drops his kad, and he doesn't pick up the pieces. His animal, his gamal falls, and he doesn't pick it up. Rabbi Meir Omer, Chayab bin Iskan. If you remember, there were all different interpretations. Is it Derech Nefila? Is it right as it's on its way down? Or is it once it's already on the ground? Okay, but if you remember, we said the basic, right, so what happens here? Rabbi Meir Omer, Chayab bin Iskan. V'chachamim omrim, patur b'dinei adam, v'chayab b'dinei shamayim. You're not Chayab b'dinei adam, only b'dinei shamayim, according to Chachamim. V'kaimalan, and what is explained there, that what's the machloket about? D'bin nitzkal posheh hu pligi. Do we consider if you had an accident, are you considered a pusher, right? And then we have that whole thing, remember, even if you might say derech nefila, that would be relevant, but what about after it already falls? So then even then we gave an explanation that it could be if it started as an accident, even if later you didn't pick up the pieces when you could have, we still consider that nitkal. So anyway, what do we say there? Nitkal pusher, who is the machloket? So what does Rabbi Meir hold? If you're nitkal, you do an accident, what does he hold? You're a pusheya, because he's the one who says you're chaya. That would be a perfect comparison to our case. Here he's doing a shchita, he's nitkal, he has an accident. And what does Rabbi Meir call him? A pusheya. That's the Rabbi Meir that holds him responsible. So we've now found our answer. Just to review before we move on. So Shmuel holds an uman, is chayav, whether he does it b'chinam or whether he does it b'kesef, okay, for sachar. The Tosefta had said, if he does it b'chinam, then he's patur, okay? Because he was doing a favor for someone. He's like a shomer chinam. He's going to be patur. So now, and again, we said that's with Shitat Chachamim, who says nitkal is lav posheh, and that's why he's going to be patur. And Shmuel views b'chinam as he views this case as a pshia case. So even a shomer chinam would be chayav for pshia. And that's why they have a machlok. Now we're going to bring in Rabbi Yochanan, who also disagrees with Shmuel. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tabach Uman Shekokel Chayav. First he just says it generally. Okay, if you're a Tabach Uman and you mess up, you're Chayav. Vafilu hu Uman ketabachei tzipori. And even if he's the best of the best, he's still responsible, right? You might think, well, he has a better insurance policy. In other words, he's so good that if some mistake happened, it's so onus. Okay, that he's not even chayav, but no, even then, he's chayav. So first they ask, "Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi?" Does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'hamar Rabba Brachana uv dahava kamed Rabbi Yochanan b'knishta dema'on. There was a case that came before Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabba Brachana says, there was a case came before Rabbi Yochanan in the b'knesset of Ma'on. He says, go bring a proof that the guy was a mumche for tarnagolim, and if you can prove to me that he was a mumche, then I'll patur him. So what does it sound like? It sounds like he thinks if you do a bechinam, you're going to be patur, if you're an uman, if you're a specialist. So lo kashya, kam bechinam, kam besachar. So now we say, when he said uman shekel chayav earlier, he was only talking about b'sachar. He wasn't talking about b'chinam. And the case where he passed him that the guy was patur is because he did it for free. So now we see that he lines up exactly with the Tosefta. Okay, so he claims that an uman who does it for free is going to be patur. Okay, just like the Tosefta. So now, meitivei. Now I skipped something. So here's going to be a further proof that kam b'chinam kam b'sachar. Ki had amar Rabbi Zeira, Like Rabbi Zera said, Harotzeh sheyitchayev lo tabach, if you want your tabach to assume responsibility, you bring your animal to Shech, and you want him to assume responsibility, what should you do? Yakdim lo dinar, you should give him money. Okay, you should pay the guy. Okay, because if you don't pay him, he's not going to assume responsibility. So this all goes against Shmuel Shita. Meitive. So now we have a question from a Braita. Hamolich chitim litchon velo lititan. You bring chitim to grind, and before they would grind them, they would soften them, and that would allow the wheat to be separated from the chaff and get all the bad stuff off. So if he didn't soak them, that's lititan, he didn't soak them, va'asa'an subin o morsan, and he turned it into some bran wheat, bran flour, okay, where it had all the pieces in it, right, which we would probably call something like whole wheat flour, okay? They didn't think that was good in those days. Kamach lanachtom v'asa'am patni polin, he brought flour to the baker to bake him bread, and it came out bread that was very crumbly and fell apart, and it wasn't very good, or, you know, inedible. Behemala tabach vini, or I don't know if it's totally inedible, but definitely not good quality. Behemala tabach vini vla, here it's totally inedible, right? It turns it into a novella. Chayav mipnei shehu kinose sachar, because it's as if he's like he's getting sachar. Now, what does this sound like? It's kinose sachar, which sounds like if you're a specialist, the pshat of this is what? If you're a specialist and somebody brings you their stuff, you assume responsibility even if they're not paying you, because you're like someone who gets sachar because they're trusting you, because you're an uman. So they say, and that would disagree with the Tosefta. And here we're not bringing it as a contradiction to the Tosefta, we're bringing it as a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, how can you say this when you said that if you do a bachinam, you're patur? So what do they answer? Ema mipnei shehu nosei sachar. Change the k, forget the k, or it could read it, but what it really means is because he is nosei sachar, because he gets money for it. Okay, and that would then fit perfectly with his shita. Okay, now we're going to have another case. Hahu magrumta da'ate lekamei derav. There was a case of a magrumta. Okay, that's a type of shchita. When you shech the animal, you have to do the rub of the kana and the veshet. Now he starts along doing shechting it, and then the knife slips and it moves a little to the side and it doesn't do it exactly right. So most of the shechita, like most of it is done, but then he messes up. So there's a machloket about this, whether this is causes the animal to be a treifa or not. So it came before Rav Tarfe. Okay, he says this is a treifa. Okay, paskin two things. Number one, this is no good. Okay, sides like one side of the machloket, right? So it's a machloket whether it's not good or not. Upatre le tabach mi l'shlume dame. And he patres the tabach from paying. Okay, so number one, he says, this animal's no good. And number two, the tabach doesn't have to pay you for it, though. Okay? So, if you remember, this is very similar to a very famous psak of Rav in Gittin. You remember this, where he messes up the woman? Okay, it was very memorable, right? Where he messes up the woman and he doesn't let her, right? He says, "Atovak tuvatav beitin ein la mizonot." She doesn't get mizonot anymore. But Rav lo magbe our ketuba la merlata. He won't let almanot get ketubot because they can't swear. If you remember, they're supposed to swear. They didn't get anything during the husband's life. But since women, maybe women don't want them to swear falsely, there was this chashash. So they basically, he wouldn't let the woman swear. But once she came to Beit Din to claim her ketubah, even though he wouldn't let her get it, she couldn't get mizonot anymore. So she can't get the continual monthly payments. And she can't get her big lump sum, so she's stuck without anything. And if you remember what happened there, they said, how could you have done this? And they curse, right? They say, Achu ala beitre, you passed them like two different psakim, and messed her up. So the same thing is going to happen here. Okay, interesting. The same person also with Rav. So he's poter the tabach with the shlume dame. Pogube Rav Kahana Rav Asi Bahu Gavra. So Rav Kahana Rav Asi happened upon this guy in the street who lost his animal, and right, now there's number one, it's treif, and number two, he didn't get paid back for it. Amrule, they said to him, Avid Bach Rav Tarte. Rav did two, he paskined twice against you. Now there's number one, there was the machloket about is it treif or not? And number two, right, we're going to see this in a minute here, my tarte. So the first assumption we're going to assume is Ile matarte ligriuta, which is the way we read the story, which is he messed you up on two counts. And that's, he could have helped you in two different ways, and either which, right? He didn't help you either way. He could have been machshir the animal and pulled like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and instead he said it was treif like Chachamim hold. Because again, it was a suffix whether it's treif or not. Vinami kirabanan tibai lechiyuva letabcha. And he could have also made the tabach chayav, like we saw that Shmuel holds the tabach is chayav ben b'sachar ben b'china. So, if you're going to say that that's what they were saying about Rav, how could that possibly be? Could they possibly say such a thing, right? Rav Paskins in his Beit Din, and they go out on the street and they say, I can't believe Rav messed you up. Remember who Rav was also. I mean, he was Rav. He was the biggest emora of the first generation. V'hatanya, but that's not what they asked. They say, V'hatanya, there's a brayta that says, L'chishayetze, when you walk out of the court, okay, these are the three judges, right? We go by the rove. So two held by one thing and one held by something else. So the one guy who holds otherwise, when he goes out of the court, lo yomar, ani mezakev chaverai mechayvim aval ma'aseh shechaverai rabu alai, right? I think the guy should have gone free, but my friend said no, and you know, and you have to walk out of court with that, right? This is different than nowadays we have dissenting opinions. But in those days, right, they said, we have to have a kav. They wanted to, it was all a lot of, we'll see this when we get to Sanhedrin, it's all about centralization of authority. They wanted the courts to have authority. And if you start saying, well, I disagreed with what they said, well, that's going to open a Pandora's box. So you have to have a good front, a good poker face when you walk out. Okay, Valzen Emar, Holech Rachil Magales Sod. Okay, that's someone who wants to go gossiping. He reveals a secret. This should be kept secret. What goes on in the court between the judges, the discussion, should be kept secret. So you shouldn't, they can't possibly be that they were contradicting Rav and saying, what about psak he made? Ela, tarte lemal yuta. De lo ochoch, okay, dafka, he did two things in your benefit. Number one, de lo ochocha safek isura. Number two, mena achami safek zela. As if you say it was suffik treif, suffik not, so he saved you from eating something that was possibly treif. And number two, if he had told the tabach to pay you back, and really the tabach didn't need to pay you back, well then you'd be over on suffik zela. That you're stealing money that doesn't belong to you. So he was being extra cautious, you know, he saved you from possible aveirot. And that's what they were saying. Okay, next case, itmar. Hamar ed dinar l'shulchani b'nim tzara. He brings a dinar to a money changer. And he wants to know, is this a good coin or not? And it turns out, so the Shulchani tells him it's a good coin. And he, Nimtzara, he goes to pay someone. And the guy says, I won't take this money. This is counterfeit. Tanichada umam patur hedyot chayav. V'tani idach bein umam bein hedyot chayav. So now we have this machloka between an uman and a hedyot. Okay, so one braita says the uman is going to be patur because he's protected almost. In other words, if he makes a mistake, you know, he's really not responsible for a mistake that he makes. And a hedyot would be chayav. Whereas the other brayta says, no, either which way, they're going to be chayav. So Amara Papa, ki tanya umam patur. When they say umam is patur, they were talking about kigon danchu v'isur. Isur is someone's name. Okay, they're talking about danchu and isur. Delo tzricha l'migmar klal. We're talking about super, super bikim. Okay, not just like any money changer. But we're talking about someone who really knows what they're talking about. They don't need to learn anything. And they know what they're doing. Well, then obviously, if they know what they're doing, then how could they have made a mistake and said that this dinar was a good dinar when it wasn't? Ela b'mai tau. Tau b'sichta chadata. It was a newly minted coin, and they didn't recognize it yet. And they didn't know that this wasn't a good one. Dahi shata denapit mitote sichta. Because just at that moment, it was being printed. It was being, you know, put into circulation. So they didn't recognize it. Hayi itita da achzia dinari le Rabbi Chia. So then there was this woman who showed a dinar to Rabbi Chia, who I guess was a money changer. It was obvious from here that he was. Amalei ma'al yehu lemachar. Ma'al yehu. He says it's good. Lemachar the next day, Ate Lakame, she comes before him, Va'amrile, Achazite, Va'amrile, Bishahu. I showed this to them. Chaze is to see, Achze is I made them see. In other words, I showed this to people, I tried to pay with it, and they told me it's Bisha. It's nothing. Velo kanafikle. And they wouldn't take it. Amar Leila Rav. So now, according to what we said before, what would you say? What's the assumption? He's patur if he's a Numan. And Rabbi Chiya presumably was a Numan in this area. And he should be patur. So what does he say? Amar Leila Rav. Rav was his son-in-law. Okay, so Rav obviously worked for him. Okay, he says to Rav, Zil chalfe nihale uktov apinkase din esek bish. Go give her a new coin. In other words, I'm going to assume responsibility, even though we said before, you don't have to. And write on the pinkasim that this was an esek bish. There was a loss for us. You know, it was a big loss. You know the term iskabisha? Okay, so there's a, you've heard of the Lavon affair? So in the 50s, in 1954, in the Suez Canal, the British were in the Suez Canal and they were going to leave, and the Israelis didn't want them to leave. So there was this undercover operation to basically, Israelis disguise themselves, and they wanted to basically, or I don't know, disguise themselves, but they were planning to plant all these bombs, they actually planted a few, in Egypt, presumably to, as if it was the Muslim Brotherhood that was doing it. And they wanted the British to see that there was such unrest in the area and that they couldn't leave. So a few of the bombs went off, and they ended up catching the Israelis and realizing somehow that, I don't know how exactly they figured it out, but that it was an Israeli thing. They caught four guys, two committed suicide and two were executed. It was called the Lavon Affair, and it was called Iskabisha. So if you want to see terminology from the Gemara in modern day, there you have it. Okay, and by the way, for I think it was 51 years, the government wouldn't admit that they had anything to do with this. And it was like a big deal. Okay. So, umayshna danku v'isur, diptire. So now we said the Gemara is going to say, why did we say danku v'isur would be pater? And, right, mishum delo tzricha l'migmar, Rabbi Chiya nami, lav l'migmar kabai, right? Rabbi Chiya obviously also didn't need to learn anything more. So he should be like danku v'isur, and it should be mutar. He shouldn't have to pay. So, what do we say? Rabbi Chiya lifnim mishurat hadin hu da'avid. In other words, he didn't really need to give her the money, but he did anyway. Okay, the assumption of these cases is that they didn't pay the money changer, right? And that's why the money changer is going to be patur, right? Like Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, who said, if you do a bechinam, you're patur. Kedetane Rabbi Yosef, how do we know that you should do things lifnei mishurat hadin? So here we quote a pasuk from Sefer Shmot, Yudchet. Okay, the whole pasuk reads like this. So going to darshan all the sections. Rashi says this is Talmud Torah. There's a few other interpretations. There's another case where this comes up, the same drasha, and instead of saying this is Torah, it says, or Zeh Beit Chayehem. Oh no, sorry, it's Rashi. Rashi translates the same drasha, I think it's in Bava Metzia. Yeah, he translates it as a job. And here he translates it as Talmud Torah. So it's an interesting Yirsa issue in Rashi. Etaderech zog milu chasadim, yalchu zo bikur cholim, ba zo kvura, that means you have to lehitasek in the mitzvah of kvura, etamaseh zehadin, asher ya'asun, zo lifni mishurat hadin. Right, why would it say etadin, asher ya'asun? Asher ya'asun must include lifni mishurat hadin. Okay, new case. Rish Lakish Achvele Dinare Le Rabbi Elazar. Okay, we're still in the dinar case, you know, the money changing thing or the money currency issue here. He showed a dinar to Rabbi Elazar. Amar Ma'al Yehu. He says, this is a good dinar. Amar Le Chaze De'alach Kasmichna. Kasmichna. Samchina. I want you to know that I'm relying on you. Okay, he adds this line, which we haven't heard before, right? Amar Le. So now Rabbi Elazar says back to him, the fact that you're relying on me, what are you trying to tell me? That if it turns out it wasn't a good coin and I told you it was, I'm going to have to give you a new one. My love, Rabbi Meir, below Sfira Lan Kavate. So he says to him, aren't you the one who says that Rabbi Meir is the one who's Dan Dina de Garme? Remember Garme, right? This is indirect. What's going to be indirect here? You said it was good, and then you indirectly are going to cause him a loss because he's going to go buy something and they won't take his money. So that's garme. So now he says, aren't you the one who says that only Rabbi Meir holds din as a garme? And my lav means, isn't that, didn't you mean that it's Rabbi Meir and we don't hold like him? Meaning that I shouldn't be responsible. So why are you telling me I'm going to be responsible? Because Rabbi Meir is the one who holds din as a garme according to you. And that means, that's implied, the Chachamim don't. And you hold like Chachamim. So if you hold like Chachamim, this is din as a garme. I should be patur. So why are you telling me that I'm assuming responsibility? So what does he answer him? Amar lo, when I said that, I meant Rabbi Meir, usfirlan kavate. Rabbi Meir holds that way, and I hold like him. Okay? And therefore, you're responsible. Now, before we move on to see where does Rabbi Meir say this, we're going to have, like I said, the same structure. Which Rabbi Meir? They're going to bring a bunch of possibilities until they get to the final one. But there's a big debate about this case. Was Rabbi Elazar a mumche, or was he not a mumche? Okay? And then we're going to come to different conclusions. So let's follow each one. If you say he's a mumche, then what do you say? A mumche, according to this, what's Rish Lakish saying? Or what's the story telling you? It starts off, we assume, the first assumption is that what? That he's patur, right? And only because Rish Lakish says, do you know that you're assuming responsibility, therefore he's going to be chayav. So if we say that he's an uman, then you say, you know, a mumche. A mumche is generally patur. However, now we're learning something new. The story is coming to tell you that if the person says to you, do you know that you're assuming responsibility for this? I'm holding you accountable. Then even an uman will be chayav. Okay, in a case, obviously, where he does it b'chinam, right? Because we said, if he does it b'sachar, he's obviously chayav. But if he's doing you a favor and he's checking a coin for you, so generally he'll be patur. If you go ask the specialist, right? That's what we've concluded now, again, against Shmuel. But everyone else seems to be, and that's where we're going. An uman is generally patur if he does it for free. However, if you say to him, you're assuming responsibility for me, then he's going to be chayav. Okay? Because then also maybe he'll rethink before he does it whether he wants to really say it or not.
You know what's bothering me? Something very elementary. I don't know why nobody, maybe I don't understand this. What happened? You have a coin. You find a coin. You earn a coin, something. You go to the specialist and you ask him to evaluate it. Doesn't make a difference what he decides, whether he says it's valuable or it's a forgery. The coin is still yours, and it has whatever buying value. So then how can all of a sudden he become responsible?
How can he be responsible if that for your coin that you had?
The shopkeeper isn't going to know what anybody ruled on the coin. The shopkeeper's going to make his own decision.
Right. Or maybe
you can go to the shopkeeper and say, but the specialist said that it's okay. You know, in the instance of whether it's a new coin and the shopkeeper doesn't recognize it, you say, well, you know, I've already checked it out.
Right. It's a good question. What is he actually chayav for?
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Maybe it's how can responsibility be thrown in the coin belongs.
So here. Okay, so Rashi says, you're right, I didn't explain this well. Rashi says, Hamar edinar ladat in tofu v'yikablenu michaviro. Somebody wants to pay him money. That's what it is. Okay, I didn't explain it right. Thank you for asking. Someone wants to pay him money. Should I accept this money or not? Is this good money or not? Yeah. Okay, thank you for pointing that out.
If I take it on your say-so,
exactly.
Then you're responsible because
exactly. Because now I've taken the money, assuming that it's a good coin. Yeah, okay. That's what it is. Okay, thank you. Okay, so that's one way of reading it. He was a mumche, and the chidush here is that if you say to the mumche, you're assuming responsibility, even if he does it for free, he's going to be responsible. Now we're going to have two options of if he's not a mumche. Maybe he wasn't a mumche, okay? In which case, an eno mumche is patur, but if you say to him, you know, I'm relying on you, then he'll become chayav. Or you say that an eno mumche is always chayav, and then what was Rish Lakish, like what's the chidush here? There really is no chidush. And Rish Lakish was just telling him, an uman is always chayav, and you should just know it. Okay? In other words, before you stick with your word, you know, just know that I'm going to hold you responsible. Okay? He's just sort of reminding him of the halacha.
It's telling him to be extra careful.
Right. It's sort of, okay, but then the story doesn't teach us anything new. If you say that it's teaching you that an eno mumche is patur, then that's a chidush, because until now we said that the eno mumche is chayav. So then this would be a different opinion. I would say it differently. I would say, no, that's not right. I would say that the eino mumche, until now we said an eino mumche is chayav. Mm-hmm. Now the chidush is going to be that when we said the eino mumche is chayav, it's only if you said to him, know that I'm relying on you. But if you don't say that to him, then he's not chayav. Because then you could also say maybe he didn't think you were really going to take him seriously anyway. He's not even a mumche. So you might have thought that. Okay. Okay, so now we want to figure out which Rabbi Meir is it. Ilema Rabbi Meir de Tanan, Dana Tadin, Zikat HaChayav, Chiyevet HaZakai, Timeret HaTorah, Tiheret HaTameh. These are all options. You go to court. Okay, Dana Tadin, that's fine. That's the koteret. You judge a judgment. You're a judge. And what did you do? You were Mizakeh, someone who's Chayav. Or you were a Mechayev, someone who's Zakai. Okay, you messed up in the deen. You were Metameh, something that was Tahor. You were Metahar, something that was Tameh. What happens when you find out that you were wrong down the road after everything's been done? Masha asa asoy, what was done is done. V'yishalem yibeto, let's say that one of you was chayav to give the other one money, and I pass that you should give the other one money, and then it turns out I was wrong. So we don't say return the money to the original person and, you know, that's how we do it. I have to pay out of pocket because I judged the case incorrectly. I have to pay back the person who paid unnecessarily. So if you say that's Rabbi Meir, so one second, this would be right, because Rabbi Meir is dan dina de garment, right? So this is indirect damage. I caused someone to pay when they didn't really need to pay. That's indirect damage because I didn't go over and smash your window and break it, right? I paskin something incorrectly, which then caused you to have to pay unnecessarily. That's garment. So if we say that's the case, ha'it marala, isn't it said on that statement of Rabbi Meir? Oh, by the way, Rabbi Meir didn't say this. Notice, Rabbi Meir's name didn't appear here. Okay, but what do we say? Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So it's a Stam Mishnah. There's an assumption that Mishnah that has no name is Rabbi Meir's opinion. So now, wasn't it said about this Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav, v'husha natal v'natam biyad. This case is only when he actually, okay, so now what does it mean, natal v'natam biyad? So let's say I said one of you was chayav to give the money to the other person. I collected the money from you and I gave it to the other person. Okay, where I physically did an act of moving the money to the wrong person, you know, taking the money from you unnecessarily. Therefore, it's not garme because I actually did something biyadayim. Okay, the timei tator is a little more complicated. And what does that mean? So some of the mefreshim say when it's timei tator, he said, oh, that item is tameh, and so much that I'm going to throw sheretz on it so that you for sure don't ever use it, okay? And so you were metameh by yadayim. It's obviously a little more complicated in that case. It's realistic. I mean, neither of these cases are necessarily the most realistic. They actually did something biyad. Okay, but it's one way of knocking out this out and saying this isn't necessarily the proof. Elaha Rabbi Meir, maybe it's this one. Ditnan litzbo lo adom utzvao shachor. Okay, this case we saw before, right? Shachor utzvao adom. Rabbi Meir omer noten lo demeit samro. So here you indirectly caused damage because you colored it a different color. So again, we say what we said before. Hatam ka'abi biyadayim. He did it with his own hand. It's not like he caused indirect damage. He dyed it the wrong color. Elaha Rabbi Meir ditnan hamisachech gafno al gabei tfuato shel chavero. If you take your vine, and you know, usually people hung out their vines. So you swing it over into the next guy's crops. You put it on top of his tvuah, so that what eventually happens, the gefen grows down, right? The vine grows down, mixes up with his grain, and you end up with kilayim. And he causes you a loss because that's your, you know, you've been over the isur of kilayim. Harei zeh kidesh. Right? That's considered, he forbids, okay, this is, the lashon of kidesh comes up by kilayim. He forbids the tvuah now, v'chiyev, okay? And Rabbi, okay, he's going to be, v'chayav. So hatam nami kavi biyadayim. It's the same thing, though. He didn't act with his own hands. This isn't indirect. It's indirect in the sense that at the moment that you put the gefen over his tvuah, nothing actually happened at that moment. But by doing it, you basically directly caused the damage because it was obviously going to grow down into the guy's tvuah. So that's not a good example. Elaha Rabbi Meir Ditanya, must be this Rabbi Meir. The Braita says, Mechitzata kerem shenifritza, omer lo gdur. Nifritza, omer lo gdur. Nityeesh mimene velo gidra, hareza kidesh v'chayav b'achrayuta. If you have a fence between my property and your property, there's a fence there, and what happens? Your side of the fence opens up, and the crops start growing through, and they tell you, you got to fix the fence, and you fix it, and then again, it opens up, and they tell you you have to fix the fence. That's why it says it twice. Omer lo gdur, and then yifritza, omer lo gdur, and then they say, look, it opened up again, you have to put up the fence again. Nityaesh mimenu v'lo gidra. Now what happens here? He doesn't fix the fence. At this point, what do we say? Hareza kidesh v'chayav v'achoryuto. He's responsible. Why? Because, why is this garme? Because he didn't do anything at this point. It's the lack of doing. The fact that he didn't fix up his fence, he is now held responsible. So there you see, Rabbi Meir holds dina de garme yor chayav. So we now finally got to our answer, which explained, right, why Rish Lakish said, I hold like Rabbi Meir, and dina de garme is chayav, and therefore you're going to be chayav if you give me the wrong psak here. And, you know, not psak, but, you know, the wrong conclusion about the money. And that's because of this Rabbi Meir. Okay, who holds that if you don't do an act of closing up your fence, you're indirectly causing damage. Okay, new Mishnah, which we've seen already, or at least part of it. Hanotein semer latzaba v'higdicho yoreh. You give semer to the tzaba, to the dyer, and he boils it up in a pot and burns it. Notein lo demet samro. Remember, we saw this. Why does it say he gives him demet samro and the shevach? And we said maybe it's because it was before it actually became dyed that it burnt. So he has to pay him the value of the tzemer. Tzva'o ka'or, if he dyes it in a okay, now ka'or is with an ayin in Hebrew, which means ugly. Okay, mecho'ar. So it means he did it in an ugly manner. Okay, they're going to say that it means the same thing as that. Okay, we're going to see the first question of the Gemara is exactly, how did he dye it? What does it mean? He dyed it in a bad way, okay? The meaning the color came out poorly, okay? It didn't come out well. Im ha-shevach yeter ala yitziah, noten lo et ha-yitziah. If the value of the item is more than the amount of the materials that he used for it, okay, this is, we're basically going to say, the yad hatzaba ala tachtona. He always has to pay the higher amount. So if he was mashbiach the item more than the materials, so he has to pay back the guy first of all the tzemer and also the raw materials. V'im hayitziyah yitera ala shevach noten lo et hashevach. But if the raw materials cost more than the shevach, then he has to pay him the shevach. One second. Right, sorry, I'm not explaining this well. I knew I was... what happens? He dyes it poorly. So he gives, according to this, he gives the tzemer to the guy who got it from him, okay?
I'm confused. Which
okay.
Is he?
Right. So the... One second, let me make sure I have it right before I say it. Notem latzabat yitziyah v'lo sachar kabel tzemro u'demet tzemro. If I dye your stuff and I dye it in a bad way, so what happens? I give you the stuff that I dyed, okay, poorly, but now what do you have to pay me? Do you have to pay me? You don't have to pay me according to this for my work because I didn't do my work well. So you don't pay me a maskoret, okay, but what do? Either if it's still valued more than it was because it's dyed, it's just not dyed nicely. So if what it's worth now, that I made it worth X amount more, okay, is more than the amount that I spent on the raw materials that I used, dye on it and whatever I used, then I get the raw materials only. In other words, I don't get the payment of the shevach, I only get my expenses back, okay? Whatever I spent on it, okay, let's say I painted your house and I did a poor paint job. Let's take something easier for us to understand. So I wouldn't get paid for the fact that I painted it. You pay me for the paints and the brushes, etc. But if my expenses, I did such a poor job that my expenses cost more, yitera la shevach, cost more than the value of the paint job, okay, of what your house is now worth a little bit more because it's got this poor paint job, then I only get the shevach. No tein lo et hashevach. So either which way, I get the smaller amount. Litzbo alo adom, this is the case we just saw earlier today. I gave it, you know, you gave it to someone to paint, all right, to, let's say, paint your house, adom. I mean, here we're talking about semer. Utzva'o shachor. Shachor utzva'o adom. So Rabbi Meir omer, noten lo d'mei tzamro. Rabbi Meir says, you totally messed this up. And therefore, you get to keep the tzemer that you dyed because the guy doesn't want it. It was done incorrectly. We also learned this above a mitzvah. And you have to give him exactly what he gave you. He gave you tzemer to dye. You have to replace the value of the tzemer that you ruined. Rabbi Yehuda omer, just like we saw before, im ha-shevach yeter al tziyah, noten levet yitziyah. Im ha-yitziyah yeter al ha-shevach, noten levet ha-shevach. You did do something, right? You dyed it a different color, so it was different from what he said. But basically, you give him what you dyed. You give him the clothes now, or whatever it is, that you dyed. And again, he doesn't have to pay you for your work. There's a bit of a chloke at what we do about the sechar, okay? But assume, let's go with the opinion. He doesn't pay you for your work at all, but what does he pay you? He pays you, again, either your raw materials or the fact that this is valued somewhat higher, right? Depending on whichever one is lower. He's going to pay you the lower amount of whichever one. Okay, we'll end with this last line of the Gemara. My ka'or, or the first line of the Gemara, last line on the page. What does ka'or mean? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barchana, kalbus. Okay, that doesn't help us. This happens very often in the Gemara where they say, what is this? This is something else that we don't know. Not only that, we don't know. But even the Amoraim didn't know, so they asked that question. My kalbus. In other words, if it happens that we don't know, but the Amoraim know, then we have to look at the Rishonim, and the Rishonim can hopefully tell us. But in this case, even the Gemara didn't know. Amar Rav Shmuel, Kafra Dude. Okay, what does this mean? This means that it was the sediment of the dye that was left in the cauldron where they would boil up the, right? So he used the sediment. Instead of using like fresh dye, he used the sediment, and that caused it to come out not well. Okay, that's it for today.